Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The podcast's ready. Take it out of the oven and leave it to rest. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
Welcome, Ed.
Hello, mate.
James Acaster here.
Ed Gamble here.
Very good to see you. This is Off Menu podcast, where we're going to ask a guest what their dream meal is. They're going to tell us their favourite ever star, main course, dessert, side dish, drink.
This week's very special guest, James, you're very excited about this guest, I believe.
Very excited, because you know me, I love magic. So this is the first magician on the Off Menu podcast. It is...
Dynamo!
Dynamo,
an excellent magician. You've seen him live, I believe. I have not, sadly.
I've seen him twice live. Once in the O2 Arena, a huge venue, and once in a tiny little hotel room where you can see every single move that he's doing. So, like, very excited to have him here in the Dream Restaurant.
Was that a show, or were you just in his hotel room?
I was in his hotel room. I was spying on him, yeah.
Holy hell.
Of course, Ed, if Dynamo does choose the secret ingredient, we're going to have to kick him out of the restaurant.
Bye-bye, Dynamo.
What's the secret ingredient this week, Ed?
The secret ingredient this week is edible flowers.
We are trying to catch out a magician here. We think he'll choose something like edible flowers because, like, magicians pull flowers out of their sleeves, of course, and they often eat things that you don't expect them to eat, like glasses.
A pair of glasses?
No, like a glass that you would eat, you would drink out of.
That'd be a good trick, though, if you take your glasses off your face and eat them, and then you can see again.
Yeah, why haven't they done that trick yet?
Good idea.
Yeah.
If you're listening back, Dynamo, maybe try that once in a while. Thank you. So, edible flowers. I don't like edible flowers. I think it's not that I hate them. They're just actively nothing.
They're nothing. They don't taste of anything. All it is that, novel that you're eating a flower. But yeah. I'm here to eat a meal,
not your garden, mate. Put it in the bin. So, let's hear the off-menu menu of Dynamo. Welcome to the Dream Restaurant, Dynamo.
I'm excited.
Thanks so much for coming in. Oh,
look at that. The genie has appeared.
Welcome. The genie meets a magician at last. Someone else with magical powers. You probably won't be too impressed with my...
He wasn't impressed at all. I think he saw how you did that.
When I like, conjure up loads of food, you'll be like, I could have done that myself.
I mean, I will be quite impressed because some of the things that I might want conjuring up, not the easiest thing to make, considering that one of my favourite things on the list is my grandma's secret recipe, which I don't even know how she makes it. So if you can conjure that up, my God, you'll be my new best friend. You can be my grandma.
Yes, that's all I wanted. All I wanted is to be someone's grandma.
Genie
that's all
grandma.
I've wanted my whole life. I'll be your grandma, Dynamo.
Amazing.
What's the most ambitious trick you have done that's like been the one that's been the most most challenging or that required the most prep and stuff?
When I walked down the side of the LA Times building,
right,
that was pretty scary. I was pretty afraid of heights before that point, and even just standing on the top, before I decided to lean over the edge and hopefully not die.
Yeah,
it was quite a daunting thing. My manager, who's really scared of heights.
Yeah,
that was the one piece of magic that he decided not to come up. He decided, I'll watch this from the bottom.
Yeah.
I'll watch this from the street.
Supporting
I'll
you.
Capture this on film in case it doesn't work. And at least I've got you going out.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you're hurtling towards him while he's telling you how proud of you.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, I've done quite a few things that have been, you know, very challenging and quite and incredibly daunting at the time. You know, I walked across the River Thames.
Yeah.
You know, that was...
Ed fell in the River Thames.
You fell in, yeah?
I fell...
But you survived and lived to tell the tale.
Well, I fell in the River Thames.
Oh, kind of.
Okay, James thinks powers that when I fell in the River Thames...
Magical, actually.
I got type 1 diabetes. And the two things... I am type 1 diabetic and I have fallen in the Thames, but I just want to let you know those two things aren't connected, Dynamo.
They are connected. Okay. And that's how Ed became
But
super.
Do you know that they're not connected?
Yeah, because I was...
like, scientific evidence?
Here's my evidence, yes. Dynamo, which James doesn't know. I'd not revealed to him yet. I was type 1 diabetic before I fell in the Thames.
Nope. We're all magic on this
Did
podcast.
Did you tell anybody the great before you fell into the Thames
James
the genie. But you were diabetic?
Super.
Yes, I was diagnosed type 1 diabetic and maybe a year later I fell into the Thames. So I don't know what more proof you guys want. You're both looking at me like...
Since you fell into the Thames, yes, right, have you tried like things that you couldn't have because you were diabetic?
Mm.
Because maybe... You might not be diabetic anymore.
I might not be diabetic anymore. I suspect if the Thames cured my diabetes, which is what you're suggesting, that the Thames cured my type 1 diabetes.
I mean, I'm just really doing this for James.
Yeah, I know,
Because he seems to really be interested in your...
He's really connected the two things.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that I just realised that we're actually all, like, you know, we've all got powers.
Yeah, we're all a bit weird.
So we're magicians, genies...
And diabetes,
we've all got superpowers. We've got powers in some way. All four of us.
I really appreciate you classifying type 1 diabetes as a superpower, James, but why is it a superpower?
It just means you can do stuff the rest of us can't.
Basically, he's very disciplined. He doesn't touch sugar.
Yeah.
I do, actually, because you can just inject insulin, so...
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm not...
You're injecting sugar.
You're injecting sugar,
hardcore. Yeah. Oh, man.
You get to do that. It's pretty special, Ed. Am I you for it?
Rockstar.
And I just think it's
good. Yeah, I prefer rockstar superhero.
But if you had Dynamo's powers, you would not have got diabetes. You would have just walked across the Thames.
Right. Okay, I'll take that. I should have walked across the Thames.
You would have fallen out of that boat and just stayed there on the
water. Yeah, so you actually fell out of a boat into a Thames.
Yes, I was rowing.
Hold on a minute. So you're sat down.
Yes. It was very difficult. We were, and there were four of us in the boat. And it's a rowing boat, so one oar each. And it's almost impossible to capsize in one of those, but we managed it. We were an awful, awful crew.
He's got special powers.
Yeah, he's got special powers.
He was able to pull that off.
My special power is I'm terrible at rowing and I'm type 1 diabetic.
Michael Pinson couldn't pull that off. And, you know, and he's like an expert rower.
That's true.
Like, you know, if you were to ask him on one of the podcasts in the future, is it possible to fall out of the rowing boat? You'll probably say,
I mean, and here's a big piece of information that I'd not realised and put two and two together. Mm. Stephen Redgrave, our most popular rower and probably our most medal winning rower in the UK. Mm. Big revelation. Stephen Redgrave is type 1 diabetic.
Because he fell at the Thames. Oh, man. Was all added up?
Yeah, I believe it now.
Yes.
Maybe the dates do add up.
Man,
I gotta phone my mum after this and find out if I fell in the Thames before or after my diagnosis.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Good. This we're learning more about ourselves.
And
you're going to call your mum, which is, you know, it's always a good thing, you know, to be inspired to call your mum every now.
And I'll probably start with "Hi, mum, how are you?" to make it seem like I'm calling just because I'm selfless. But then I'll be like, "Oh, just on the off chance, do you know when I fell in the Thames and was it pre or post diagnosis?"
Yeah. Just a little, and then phone Steve Redgrave's family, ask them the same question about Redgrave.
No.
And then his mum will say, but you're not diabetic.
What, his mum will say, I'm not diabetic?
No, your mum.
Oh, my mum will say, I'm not diabetic.
That'd be a revelation. That'd be a real twist. You're not diabetic. I just didn't want you to have all those sweets when you were a kid.
Oh, God damn it. And then she takes her mask off and it's Dynamo.
Oh, yeah. The end, the whole thing's been Dynamo from the whole... So then the twist is, Dynamo is your mum and I'm Dynamo's grandma, which means I'm your grandmother. So by the end of it, the big twist is you've been doing a podcast with your grandma the whole time.
Who is also Dynamo's grandma.
Yeah.
Well.
No, hold on. If I'm Dynamo's grandma, I'm your great-grandma.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Dynamo's my mum.
Dynamo's your mum. I'm Dynamo's great-grandma.
But my grandma...
And you are my great-grandson who has diabetes.
My grandma, whose food I'm going to talk about later,
yes,
she's actually my great-grandma. She's still alive. She's 89.
She's a great grandma.
But she's my great. So you'd be his great great grandma.
Great grandma.
Great great grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you will address me as such. Now, Dynamo, can we start you off with some still or sparkling water?
Still water, please.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Could you do a trick where you turned it into sparkling water?
Yeah, but I think that might not be that impressive.
Really?
That's a good point.
Like,
not a good, not
like,
a trick.
So, I've got some still water here. Yeah. Would you like me to turn it into sparkling? Or would you like me to turn it into wine?
Yeah,
or
sure.
Or would you like me to turn it into your favourite beverage? Unless someone's favourite beverage is sparkling water, like Krishnan Guru Murphy.
Yeah, yeah.
He might love that as an idea.
Yeah.
He might love it.
Dynamo's a student of the podcast.
But then it'd be good if you started with a different drink, like if you started with a hot chocolate or a cup of tea, like you've got this cup of tea here. And you said to me, when you got given that cup of tea, you said you were very impressed with Billy, who works on reception here, because she made, you said, most people don't make tea the way that Dynamo has it.
Yeah, because I have to have lactose-free milk, which most people don't have in their fridge.
Yeah.
And I also have to have decaf tea.
Right.
Which a lot of people have decaf coffee.
Yes.
In the kitchen. But yeah, so it's always quite awkward when people offer me a tea because I just don't expect them to have, you know.
Yeah. You've got a whole list of things.
The right things, yeah.
Because is it a lot of like what you can and can't eat? Is there a lot of stuff that you can't eat?
Yes. So I have Crohn's disease. Anyone who doesn't know, who's listening to this podcast, who's never even heard of me, I'm Dynamo. I've got Crohn's disease. I also do magic. And because of my illness, I can't have lactose. I can't have vegetables. I can't have... I mean, it's actually easier to name the things I can have.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I pretty much live on potatoes without the skin.
Right. Yeah.
They have to be... They can't be fried. I can't have any fried food. It has to be stuff that is either grilled or diced up really small so I can digest it very easily because my insides are all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't have fizzy drinks, so sparkling water is a no-no.
Right.
And I definitely can't have alcohol. So basically, you know, I don't have any fun.
No fun. That's why you become a magician. You got to make your own fun.
Food wise, I don't get to have any of the fun, you know. I can't even have like custard. Imagine a dessert without custard.
That's the funnest food.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have to make my own fun.
So can I ask, were you diagnosed with Crohn's disease before or after you fell in the Thames?
You didn't fall in, you walked across it.
Yeah, I walked across it. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 14 years old.
Wow, okay.
Before that, they just did loads of tests on me and didn't know what had gone on with me. And eventually I diagnosed me with Crohn's disease and I've had it ever since. I've had parts of my bowel removed, but there's still bits of the Crohn's there. And because of all the operations I've had, it's left me kind of a bit messed up inside. So even though some of my Crohn's is gone, I have different symptoms because my insides don't work like everybody else's.
Right. Okay. So it's a side effect of the operations you had to have to sort the Crohn's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So choosing your favourite meal, has it been quite fun choosing your favourite meal? Have you stuck to the rule of like what you can and can't eat?
Because I was toying with the idea, right, of I can obviously give you my favourite meal that I actually can eat.
Yes.
But then I'm in a position where I could talk about a meal that I'm not allowed to eat, but I'd love to be able to eat because that would be my ultimate dream favourite meal.
Yeah. It's a dream restaurant. You don't have Crohn's in the dream restaurant, Dynamo.
So, Ed has diabetes.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. I'm the manager of the restaurant and I can't indulge in the dream meals.
Yes.
So what do you do?
What do I do?
Make sure you're happy.
Actually, type 1 is actually all right because insulin means that I can inject insulin to cover sugar and things like that. So I need to be
and
careful.
And do you inject yourself?
I inject myself, yeah. So multiple times a day.
And sometimes you ask me to do it.
Have I let you push the little plunger down?
Oh, I may have just imagined it. I think that's daydreaming.
You can if you want one day.
Would you do it?
Yeah. If you ask me to.
You're welcome to.
Maybe one day.
My girlfriend's done it a couple of times, but it creeps her out.
Yeah.
Because it's just a weird idea, isn't it?
It is a bit weird idea, yeah.
But no, it's just, it's more annoying than anything else, just staying on top of making sure
And you have to constantly have the injection things with you?
Yeah, I've always got them with me, and I'm always sort of testing my blood to make sure that it's within the right range and stuff. And I do watch what I eat because of that, and I know what, like, pizza's an absolute nightmare. Because, like, the blood sugar goes up and down, bearing in mind the carbs and the fat and all that. It's all boring scientific stuff.
Pop it up, absorb bread, Dynamo! Pop it up, absorb bread! Pop it up, absorb bread!
I'm gonna say bread, but it's only because my favourite starter in a restaurant is chicken patty,
right?
Spread on the bread.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, but I do like a poppadom. I'm partial to a poppadom every now and then. But some places make them spicy though. Bit much.
The ones with the little seeds in them.
Yeah,
I can't have seeds.
I can't have seeds on anything.
Right.
And also I've got to kind of avoid spice. Like, you know, my favourite kind of, I guess, spicy type food, which I can get away with a little bit, is very mild chicken tikka.
Right.
Off the bone, but no like sauce or anything.
Yeah.
So I almost make it, I wrap it in naan bread. It's just like little chicken wraps, essentially.
Little chicken
wraps.
With
a little bit of added spice.
Yeah.
But that's maybe like, that's like a treat to myself if I know that I'm not on tour, I've not got to be anywhere.
Yeah.
Just in case it doesn't react too well with me. So, you know, that's like, that's my Sunday special.
Yeah.
If I can't have a Yorkshire pudding and a roast dinner.
Yeah. Yorkshire. Ed's been vocal on the podcast about how he doesn't like Yorkshire puddings.
I
bring it up at every given opportunity.
I don't like Yorkshire puddings. I think they're broadly tasteless.
You've obviously never had good Yorkshire puddings.
I've had the finest Yorkshire puddings.
You had my nan's. You had my grandma's Yorkshire puddings.
I have, because as we've established, James is my grandma.
We're all in the same family.
Yeah, but James, did you make them fresh or did you buy those Aunt Bessie's ones and just stick them in the oven until they get warm?
That's true. I probably mismade.
You probably thought that Ed, being a sophisticated gent that he is, would have just appreciated, you know, any of your cooking.
Yes.
And realised that he already had a stigma towards the Yorkshire pudding in the first place. So you didn't really bring your A game.
Yeah. Do you know what? You're completely right. Somehow this has come back on me, but I didn't bring my A game. And that's why you didn't like your Yorkshire pudding.
Please bring your A game next time you cook the Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get you. We've got to convert you.
Yeah.
We've got to get some.
I'm open to conversion.
I want recommendations.
They're diabetic friendly Yorkshire puddings.
Right. Okay. I'm on board. But make sure you bring your
own. If the listeners can start recommending places we can get the best Yorkshire puddings, take Ed there. You're going to eat a lovely Yorkshire pud. We're going to get you on this train, Ed.
Okay. I'm willing to be converted.
And is there any particular type of bread that you're choosing here?
It has to be plain white, just plain white bread.
I
can't have any bread with, like, any healthy bread, basically, that's got all the seeds and stuff in.
Right.
That would destroy me. Can't have any of that. It's like kryptonite to me.
Right.
So are we going with the meal that you could eat, or are we going with
I'm going to start with the meal that I could eat,
and then
later on, just to sign everything off, we'll throw a crazy mix in there to see what I would eat.
That sounds great.
If it wouldn't.
Love it.
So you're going for like plain white King's Mill?
Yeah, I prefer Warburtons.
Warburtons, that's fine. I'll get you some Warburtons, plain white Warburtons.
Yep.
How many slices do you want?
Because it's a starter, I'll say just three slices.
Three slices.
Slightly toasted,
and are we
but not properly
this with
toasted.
Your starter.
Yeah.
So what is your starter?
My starter, usually, this is for real, I usually have two options of a starter. Most places you go to in London, a lot of these fancy establishments, they do have pate, chicken liver pate, or, you know, some sort of pate, like duck and orange pate.
Yeah.
I once went to Heston Blumenthal's restaurant, and he had this thing called meat fruit. It was amazing. It was like magic. It looked like an orange, right?
Yeah.
but it was chicken liver pate. Like, that was like, what?
And that is the ultimate compliment to Heston Blumenthal, that Dynamo says the pate is like magic.
Yeah.
It was, and I'm not going to lie, it was one of the nicest tasting pates I've ever had.
I've seen that before. I'm aware of the meat fruit, but I've never been to that restaurant. I want the meat fruit so bad. So
you do want the meat. I think you've talked about it on the podcast before.
I think I'd be wowed by it still. When it arrived, I'd be like, oh, this is a little orange. I'd go along with it like I was being fooled. Like, I can't believe they brought us a whoa.
No, but the coolest thing is, if you take guests with you, right, and you don't tell them, you just say, oh, let me order some stuff for you, you know, just trust me, you'll like it. And and you don't tell them, but it's meat fruit. And when it comes, they think it's an orange.
They probably thought it was you.
Also, yeah. You were doing it. Like, Dynamo, that's an amazing trick. And you're like, yeah. That was me.
Well, if you really wanted to, you know, if you really wanted to, like, go all out, you could take them there, make sure they know nothing about the restaurant beforehand, right? Get them to, all, you know, they order some fruit. And then you say, actually, before you eat it, look at me, right?
Yeah.
Would it be cool if I could turn that orange into chicken?
Oh, and then say yes, it would be very cool.
Not possible, though, right? Do it, what's this? Boom, done.
Oh, Dynamo! You did it again!
Yes.
And then the waiter would come along going, actually, it's always you going, get the fuck away.
Yes.
Get away from our table, you shut up.
Wouldn't it be weird if I could turn the waiter who's coming over into a twat?
Yeah. Here he comes, going to ruin the trick now.
Oh, I turned him into a liar.
Oh, Heston, fancy seeing you here.
So your starter, is it pâté?
Yeah, chicken pâté is generally
but the
like
meat, you would want the meat
starter.
Fruit.
Meat fruit, that would be my choice. Yeah, that would be 100%. That would be my choice. The meat fruit by Heston Blumenthal is amazing.
I love it when people pick specific stuff.
And I'm sure after this podcast, we're going to get all invited there, you know, free of charge.
This is great because we mentioned it. What's the restaurant called? Have we said the name?
It's called Dinner.
Dinner by Heston Blumenthal.
You should do the next podcast from Dinner.
Ah, yeah. And we could interview Heston.
That is my dream.
We interview Heston Blumenthal in Dinner.
Heston's one of my dream guests, I think, as well.
Great.
Yeah. And I'd love to. I've never been to Dinner.
Right.
So I'd love that. So good idea, Dynamo. Thank you very much.
This is a great idea, awesome. Dynamo.
Yeah.
And lightly toasted bread, you say?
Yeah, just lightly toasted. I still like it to be a little bit soft, you know, like, but I think just the part that you spread the meat through onto just needs to be a little bit firmer just so you get a good even spread.
A little canvas for the meat fruit.
It's a good sound as well. That's spreading it onto like toasted. I want that.
Yeah.
That's scraping.
Yeah. And scraping when it's just slightly toasted, you know they've made a bit of an effort?
Yeah, at least they've done something. Now he's got it out of the pack.
Making the pâté look like an orange is not good enough for you. You're like, if you really want to make an effort, stick that in the toaster on one.
Yeah, please. To your main course, I sense that you've given this a lot of thought. Actually, I think you've had a. There were probably a lot of options that were discarded. Probably some honourable mentions if you wanted to do some shout outs.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's actually been a lot easier because there's so many things I can't eat, and I was thinking realistic.
Yes,
my realistic dream menu. So I had to discard many things, and there's only one thing that I could think that needs to be on this list as number one.
Okay.
But I don't know if anybody else in the world can make it. Oh. And my grandma, she's 89 now.
Right.
She still kept the recipe to herself. Uh-huh. Even if she told me the recipe, I probably wouldn't know what to do because I'm terrible in the kitchen myself. I only learned how to cook last Christmas.
Yeah.
This is a true story. Yeah, for Christmas, all my family got me cookbooks. They even got me Cooking for Dummies.
Right, great, yeah, they weren't being subtle about it.
They got me, I got that Jamie Oliver books, I got everything, and, you know.
From loads of different family members, so they'd all got together and thought, we're going to have.
Yeah, it was like an intervention.
Yeah.
And so I started to learn how to cook at Christmas, and I did pretty good. I'm pretty good at making pancakes. I make them gluten-free with lactose-free milk, you know.
Right.
They're Dynamo-friendly.
Yeah.
I'm talking about myself in third person there.
That's
now.
That's okay. You're making some pancakes. It's appropriate.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, when they're making pancakes,
I've even mastered the art of the pancake toss.
Oh, you can do it.
Yeah, amazing.
But you can make it hover in the air, like, and rotate slowly. So that's a bit of a cheap Dynamo.
Yeah, but, you know,
you levitate it with your mind.
Nice to know that. But yeah, so I started learning how to cook myself. But my grandma, she was like a master chef.
Uh-huh.
She was amazing. And the meal that I have to put as my main course has to be my grandma's special secret recipe of corned beef hash, right? Now, she knows my dietary requirements, so obviously you can't have all of the things that are in normal corned beef hash, but she still manages to get all the amazing flavours out of everything and make it still taste as good, if not better, than traditional corned beef hash. But to top it all off, I'm going to convert you, Ed.
Yeah.
She sticks the whole thing in a giant Yorkshire pudding.
Yes. Well, Ed, come on, you're not made of stone,
no,
mate.
What? That sounds pretty good.
It sounds delicious.
I might be, I'd try that for sure.
Yeah, giant Yorkshire pudding.
That might be the dish that
corn
would convert
beef hashing,
me.
A giant Yorkshire pudding. Oh. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. So, so what's corn beef hash is like potatoes as well?
It's got there? Potatoes in there. Now, I know some corned beef hash has like beans and onions, but I can't have any of that sort of stuff. It's obviously, it's like minced kind of meat in there. It's like a stew, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah.
But then she definitely puts ingredients in there, but I don't know how she manages to get all these flavours because she doesn't have like a lot of the things that would give it the flavour.
Yeah, yeah.
So she obviously, you know, she adds her own little magic.
There's something there, yeah.
What a great grandma to find out your dietary requirements and change the...
Yeah,
change all the stuff because all you hear about older generations is that they're stuck in their ways and they like to do what they do traditionally. And she's like, "What? You can't have any of these things? Cool! I'll just make a magic corned beef hash for you. Whack it all in a giant Yorkshire pudding. Yes, please.
I've been, you know, all over the world, and it's still my favorite meal. I cannot beat going back to my grandma's and having a Sunday roast or a corned beef hash back there because she makes it better than anybody I know.
It does sound so good. I want to try it. I want to try it so bad.
Can you have egg, Dynamo?
I could have it mixed in with things, like obviously when you make a pancake or you make an omelette. Sure. Like an omelette, I can have like, you know, but it does tend to like bind me up a little bit and it doesn't totally agree with me.
So you wouldn't put an egg on the corned beef hash?
No.
No, that would just spoil it.
And also eggs and Yorkshire puddings.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't even taking into it. See what I've done? My brain had already discounted the Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, you weren't even taking that into account.
You're like, well, when Dynamo and his grandma aren't looking, I'm scooping all that out of the Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, Ed. Oh, sounds so delicious. I can't stop thinking about it. I know we've only just started talking about it, but like I haven't heard. I know you two had a conversation then about something, but I wasn't listening to any of it.
It was about egg.
All I was thinking about was that dish and how much I want to eat it. And I was thinking about putting like a lid on it, like a pie.
But you know, I've actually in the past she's made like these kind of fancy soups. Now, I can't actually have them because of what she'd put in them, because she made these like these real like vegetable soups that my grandpa used to love. Right. And she'd put it almost into like, it was like a loaf of bread, but she'd carved out the middle and made a lid of it. So she'd put the whole thing in a loaf of bread, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a better technical term for it than that.
But it's like bread bowl.
Yeah, bread bowl. Yeah, yeah. She's done the whole bread bowl. So she's done that in the past. But yeah, I've never seen a Yorkshire pudding with a hat on.
Does your grandma not have any plates? Because it seems like she's just putting all the stuff in edible vessels.
She's got plates, but I don't think she's got a dishwasher. Right. And my grandpa's passed away now, so you know, I think he used to do that.
He used to do the dishes.
She'd do the cooking. He'd do the things.
So now everything's in edible bowls. Yeah. It's a good way to save on washing up, it really is.
Yeah, well, you know, they grew up in what they had to go through World War II and, you know, rations were quite tight and, you know, I think she used her natural instincts to kind of be as productive as possible with what she had. You know, she's always taught me that you've got to make the best of your situation no matter what struggles or adversities you're going through. And, you know, because of that, you know, I think it's helped me be a better person.
Great.
I would put like maybe a pastry top on the whole thing, or maybe another like layer of Yorkshire pudding as the lid, or maybe some mashed potato. That's what I know there's already potato in the corned beef hash.
See, I thought it'd be really cool, right, to have like a Sunday roast sandwich where the sandwich is actually the Yorkshire pudding.
Oh,
and then
you
have like some Yorkshire pudding type, is it, it's not dough, is it? It's like,
what? Batter.
Batter, yeah. So like Yorkshire pudding batter as a top and bottom. And then you have like the roast beef, maybe some roast chicken. And then you have the roast potatoes kind of mushed up in between there with a bit of a gravy drizzled over the top. And I think that's like, you know, that could be like a whole new thing.
That'd be a great sandwich. I'd eat that.
Now, I've seen somewhere, I can't remember where it was, what show it was and whereabouts in the country it was, but there is a place that does Yorkshire pudding wraps.
What?
So what they do is they bake the Yorkshire pudding batter, just not in the normal shapes. So it's just a sheet of Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
And then they put in like roast dinner stuff, and I think they do like a cooked breakfast one as well, and roll it up so you've got just like a wrap, a Yorkshire pudding wrap.
If anybody
in the country knows where this place is, right, tweet me or Instagram me or whatever. All of us, hit us all up. Dynamo Magician, you can find me. You know, I'm about. let us know, because I want to go to this restaurant.
So 100%, badly, I want to go to this
place. I'm there. Like, this sounds like sorry, I know you guys are going to dream up my dream meal,
yeah,
but I think Ed's already found it.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the one.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to go there. You can't stop me, Ed.
I don't want to stop
See, I think secretly he is a Yorkshire pudding / butter lover.
Yeah.
Because he's had this secret piece of information in his locker and he's not yet mentioned it until
actually
today.
He's just saying he's not, because he knows it will come up all the time. I mean, we talk about Yorkshire puddings more on the podcast and it just helps promote his brand.
Weirdly, I'd prefer it softer, so I don't mind the wrap thing. I quite like it when it's a bit softer and it's like got gravy.
But that's what
you,
that's the gravy that makes it
soft.
Yeah,
but the top's all crispy.
We'll put the gravy on the top as well.
No, because it's like soft and crispy combined.
No, I don't like soft and crispy.
Ebenezer.
James calls me Ebenezer.
Because he likes cheese and biscuits as a pudding.
Yeah, no.
Yeah! Dynamo is so on my side with all this stuff. I'm so happy.
# Team James.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So what are you putting on the side here?
So on the side, what I like to do is have a nice small, a nice kind of bowl of oven baked, not fried, because I can't have fried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oven baked thick chips.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, thick chips with drizzled with brown HP sauce. Of them, and then you mix that with the gravy and a bit of vinegar, and it creates an amazing flavour. Like, it's
nice.
Amazing. When I say gravy, I mean, like, you know, the kind of stewy combi pash.
Yes,
liquid.
Yeah.
It's a bit like gravy, you know. It acts the same way gravy acts when it's inside a Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, you get the same effect.
Yes, yeah.
And brown sauce, so I think
HP goes on everything.
Right, yeah.
I think it's my favourite. It's my favourite bottled sauce.
Yeah.
I'd say. Apart from not including hot sauces, but out of, you know, ketchup and brown sauce, which is the choice. It's brown sauce for me every time. Thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I tried brown sauce for the first time, didn't like it, didn't have it for ages, and probably didn't try it again until, I'm going to say, probably my late 20s, early 30s, but now I like it. End of story.
That is your story of every food.
Yeah.
So you've matured.
But he's closed his eyes, doesn't like the story.
Every time James talks about food, it's always that he didn't try it until his 20s because he tried it when he was a kid and didn't like it, but now he likes it again. It's always the end of the story.
Well, it's a true story.
Yeah.
True story about the brown sauce. You know,
he's not like an early adopter. It takes him a while to kind of catch up.
It takes him a good 2 decades.
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna go away from it first. Come back.
So what don't you like right now?
What don't I like at the minute?
Oh, good question.
I'm going to make a prediction. Yeah. In 10 years' time, you're going to love it.
It's a dynamite prediction. Yeah. What don't I like at the moment? Fennel. Hate fennel.
You will love fennel in 20 years.
No, I will never!
I think you will morph into a fennel lover. Like,
yes.
Yeah, 100%.
I will never be a fennel lover.
You'll be.
Dynamo? No.
We'll be calling you fennel.
No, in 20 years. You will not call me fennel.
Everyone should. In fact, let's get James on board with fennel quicker. And the only way we're going to do that is by calling him fennel. So
no.
Everyone on Twitter could refer to James as fennel, that would be great. Tweet him. Tweet him saying, "Hello, Mr. Fennel. I hear you love fennel."
Benito, do not put this in the podcast.
But Ed you and Fennel podcast.
The Ed and Fennel like podcast. Benito, off menu.
With Ed and Fennel.
No.
Oh, yes.
Dynamo, that sounds good. Dynamo, please. Greg Benito, I beg of you, don't call me Fennel.
Yeah, he thinks the fennel doth protest too much.
No, I'm not the fennel. Don't call me that.
Oh, the fennel.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good.
Oh, Dynamo, please. Show mercy.
Yeah, HP. Anyway, I'm fully on board with brown sauce.
Yeah, HP and fennel.
Yeah.
No, you can. No, never put HP on everything. Fennel?
You can have HP on everything.
You can put it on everything.
Everything.
I like
now,
it.
A question for you.
Yes.
Salad cream or mayonnaise?
Oh, well, I guess. I'm normally mayonnaise, but that's because salad cream isn't on offer as much. When there is salad cream on offer, because I hardly have it, I do want some salad cream. So if you're going to give me a choice now, if I've got to eat salad cream or mayonnaise, I'm going to choose salad cream.
Ed?
Where am I putting it? Because I like salad cream in a cheese sandwich.
In a cheese sandwich, okay.
Cheese and salad cream, white bread
what about,
sandwich.
So if you're having a tuna sandwich, maybe,
yeah.
Would you have tuna mayo or tuna and salad
tuna
cream?
Tuna mayo every time.
Oh, controversial.
Mayo, and I eat mayo with chips.
Yep, no, mayo and chips.
Mayo and chips.
Sure. Mayo salad and ketchup with chips combined.
No, don't like ketchup.
Oh, okay.
Don't like ketchup. Mm. That's another one of my controversial viewpoints. I'm a bit of an edgelord dynamo. I don't like Yorkshire puddings, and I don't like ketchup.
At Lee Gardens in Kettering. Mm. Which is a all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet.
Is that their Twitter handle?
What?
At Lee Gardens.
No. Maybe, actually. I don't know if they're on Twitter. But Lee Gardens, I absolutely love it. One of the items on the buffet is fish that they put in salad cream and then fry it. And it's like fried salad cream fish.
That's awful, James.
I really like it.
That is absolutely unacceptable. Huh? What are you talking about?
It's like battered as well, I think. But like battered salad cream and fish.
But they dip it in salad cream and then batter it and then fry it.
Yes.
That is dreadful.
So is this the sort of place that also like does battered Mars bars?
No. But like, I mean, hopefully, they need banana fritters for dessert and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they'll do like, you know, that cubed jelly, you know, like big cubes of jelly and Swiss rolls and stuff. But like, yeah, I used to go there all the time for like birthdays and stuff to Lee Gardens, and went there again recently. And that fish in the salad cream was so nice.
No, it wasn't.
It was really nice. I went back for seconds of it on the all-you-can-eat buffet. I went back to get the fish. That and the salt and pepper aubergine.
That sounds better.
Salt and pepper aubergine.
That sounds better than salad cream fish.
Salad cream fish was really good at
Which
Lee Gardens.
Honestly sounds like the worst drag queen of all time.
What, salad cream fish?
Yes.
Performing nightly at Lee Gardens.
My fellow Ketriners are going to back me up on this. Go to Lee Gardens, try the salad cream fish, and then tweet us, let us know how great it is.
We used to go to a Chinese buffet in Durham called the Blue Elephant, and it is, to this day, the only restaurant I've ever been into that refused to serve tap water, which is illegal. You have to offer tap water, but they were just like, no, you can't have any tap water. You've got to buy a drink.
Did you call the cops?
Called the cops on them, mate. They have been shut down since then.
Yeah.
Basically, refused to sell it because it would make people sick from drinking it, or just because they
No. Just because they wanted more money, basically.
Oh, right.
Because they knew people would go in there and be like, because it was like £6 for an all-you-can-eat buffet or something. So obviously people are going to go in there and take the piss, aren't they? They need to earn that extra money. But I'd prefer, you know, whack an extra quid on the buffet price and lovely glass of tap water. Thank you very much.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Get one of those all-you-can-drink free refills.
Yes.
You
know, like,
That's an absolute
like at
dream.
Nando's, you buy a drink and you get a free refill, right?
Love the free refills. Do you have I guess
no fizzy drinks.
So you don't go up and...
like I can have which you saw my show, so you've seen you saw I had this. They do a decaf Coke that is also like no sugar, no, like it's basically it just kind of tastes like Coke.
Yes.
And it's kind of, it is fizzy, but I have to let it kind of go flat. You know, when you like, when you leave it like for, you open it and then just leave it for a while. And actually I do a thing in the show, which you saw, where I drink Coke, but it's flat, horrible Coke that has none of the good stuff that we like to drink Coke.
What, is that a specific type of Coke?
Yeah,
is
if you ever see it, it's in the gold cans.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I know the one you mean. Yeah.
You don't see it everywhere. Yeah. But, you kind of can get it like at wholesale places. So that's the only kind of Coca-Cola I get to drink. And for a treat, I can occasionally have maybe a little bit of lemonade, but it's the same as like the eating like chicken tikka. You know, I have to kind of know that I'm going to be at home all night because I don't know how it's going to react. There's like, you know, there's certain brands that I've had in the past which I've been all right with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a very, very much a creature of habit. Once I try something, if it's all right with my tummy,
of course,
then I pretty much eat the same thing. Every single day I probably have the same mix of three different kind of meal options. And like, you know, one day I might have my dinner option for breakfast just to change things
just
up a little
bit. Just to mix it up a bit, Yeah. Dinner for breakfast.
Yeah, so my diet is so kind of boring and repetitive, but I have to do whatever I can just to try and make it exciting.
Because
it's not like, you know, some people, you know, they eat for fuel and it's just, you know, they'll really stick with their diet. But for me, I do enjoy the taste of food. You know, I would be a foodie if I didn't have the, you know, Crohn's disease. And so I do try and, you know, just get as much flavour out of it as I possibly can.
Of course, yeah.
Hence why I seem to like condiments.
Condiments are where it's at.
Yeah,
the opposite of Paul Rudd.
Yes, we heard
Paul Rudd doesn't like condiments. That's what we learned. He wasn't on the podcast, but an inside source said he does not like sauces. He doesn't like condiments on anything. So you're the opposite of Paul Rudd.
You're an opposite Rudd.
Although it's quite weird because Paul Rudd, we talk about the actor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because my friend sent me a picture recently, a screenshot of Paul Rudd, where we do look very similar.
Really?
So although I'm the opposite of Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
So you are like...
In a couple of pictures, in a couple of films, in the Ant-Man film.
Yeah.
It was from Ant-Man.
Yeah.
When he first gets out of jail and he's quite, you know, he's not super clean shaven and stuff like that. There is definitely a resemblance.
So you could be the Venom to Paul Rudd's Spider-Man.
Yes.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Very. I mean, I don't
know. And I know exactly now, I have exactly the answer to how I could defeat him.
Yeah,
with condiments.
Yeah,
because he wouldn't be able to.
This is kryptonite, right?
He'd be slipping all over the place.
Instead of webs, you shoot out like mustard and stuff.
Yeah, literally like ketchup mustard.
Yeah,
brown sauce, obviously mainly brown sauce. Yeah. You'd be firing at him.
Yeah,
mayonnaise and salad cream. He doesn't know which is which when it's coming at him.
Yeah.
We touched on drinks a little bit there.
Yes.
So what is your dream drink for this meal?
I mean, it's probably going to have to be Ribena, the blackcurrant flavour.
Blackcurrant Ribena?
Normal blackcurrant Ribena.
Are you having this in a glass or are you having it in a carton? You going to spike the straw in there?
In a dirty glass.
In a dirty old glass. Locked eyes at me when he said that.
Yeah,
mate.
I saw that. Yeah, that was a lovely moment.
Right in the eyes. Oh, dirty glass, please. The old glass of Ribena. Now, how strong do you want it?
Yeah, what measures are we talking?
It has to be quite strong. Like I don't like it when it's weak.
Yeah.
No, I like a strong, you know, especially if, you know, if you get the cordial Ribena, you know. Like, I think I really enjoy it how it comes in the cartons when it's pre-mixed.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Which is very lazy when you think about it, because you could buy a bottle that can last you like a month, right?
Sure.
If you're drinking maybe one glass every now and then.
Yeah.
Or you could buy a carton that lasts like one evening and it's pre-mixed. And all they've done really is add water.
Yeah, but they know the ratios. It's scientific. The ratios are perfect.
I mean, you probably wouldn't be able to have it in the Chinese restaurant that you used to go to.
No, absolutely not. No, they would serve you. No, they'd serve you a bottle of Ribena. You couldn't just top it up.
Of
Ribena, you just have to go and need Ribena. Yeah,
in Lee Gardens, you could get it fried.
Yeah,
fried Ribena and beef.
Dip it in Ribena, throw it in the fryer. Lovely stuff.
Fried Ribena.
But I also, you know, I think, but I do love Ribena. But I try and moderate it a little bit because you know it's. You know, you've got to think about your teeth and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And Ribena, you know, if you have it too much, it could make your teeth go purple, can't it?
Is that true?
Well, I don't think it makes it go purple, but it definitely makes you definitely.
Wow, that was a really bad lying there, Dynamo.
I know, it's a bad
really
lying. Well.
I thought you're meant to be able to deceive people, Dynamo. Your conscience got the better of you immediately. Well, I'm lying.
No, but don't make your teeth go purple, but. Like, it definitely, you know, you can definitely taste the sugar after a while.
I don't think you need to. I think you have to moderate on so much other stuff, Dynamo. Because, I think you should have as much Ribena as you can.
But you can get the Ribena without the sugar, but it just does not taste the same.
The tooth kind. The Ribena tooth kind.
Oh, no, and for me, you know, like, I have to have the real stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't obviously, you know, go there.
I could inject insulin, but I don't want to waste it on a drink. No, I'd rather have a lovely.
It's not a drink, it's Ribena.
All right, okay, so it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. And you can tell that's true because Dynamo did not say it was a lie. I said, it's not a drink, it's Ribena. No point in going, I'm not popular shit.
I've never been to one of your shows, Dynamo. I'd like to change that soon. Obviously, I'd like to come and see you, but after every trick, do you go, by the way, sorry, I was lying, everyone?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't really walk down that building. Oh. Although I'm really struggling to think about how you would fake that.
It was quite funny, you said the show that James came to recently. I think I did actually end the whole show by saying, yeah. Well, you know, what you saw might have been true or could have been lying to you.
Yeah.
And I kind of left it open, but did loads of crazy things at the end, which makes you question everything you've just seen and your life.
Yeah, I came out questioning my life.
And then you smiled and all your teeth were purple. I've heard
Why has he got those purple teeth? What's happened? That's what everyone
I think, though, when I was younger, the reason the whole purple teeth thing came out is when I was younger, I used to, you know, I kind of used to love Ribena. And my nana used to tell me, you can't have it all the time because your teeth will go purple.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's the thing.
So really what I'm saying is my nana's a liar, it's not me.
Yeah, she's the liar.
Maybe it's Ribena that she puts inside the corned beef hash. Maybe that's a secret recipe.
That could be the secret recipe. It's Ribena. That's why she's like, don't have too much Ribena, because then you'll figure out my secret recipe.
Maybe.
You'll be able to taste the corned beef hash and go...
taste my purple teeth hash.
Yeah. Also, you bring up tooth kind. Like that has... Even though I've never had Ribena tooth kind, it's always made me angry. I just think it's one of the things we should have as the secret ingredient in a future episode.
Mm.
And we kick the guest out if they say Ribena tooth kind, because it just seems like an abomination of a drink. I don't think... like, what's the point?
Why is it? But do you feel the same about Diet Coke?
No, you know that I like Diet Coke.
But isn't it just the same thing, just with a different branding?
Probably, yeah.
Well, that's like Pepsi Max and Diet Coke. They're both diet drinks,
it's the
right?
Same, it's the same
but
sort
it's
of
like
thing, yeah.
A kind of one of them's kind of marketed towards men.
Yeah,
and
supposedly,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And Coke Zero as well is marketed towards men, apparently, as opposed to Diet Coke, which is marketed towards women.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You see the slogans for both of them.
In this day and age, in this current climate, can you believe it?
Yeah.
It's still going on.
Yeah.
Well, who's tooth kind directed to?
That's children. That's parents to buy for their children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But also just flagging up. I mean, it's pretty stupid because, like, putting it tooth kind just really flags up that Ribena is not kind
to
teeth.
Yeah,
that's a stupid name. It's really stupid.
Yeah.
But it's honest.
Yeah, sure, it's honest. Yeah, which is, as we've learned, you value that.
Of course.
You value immediate honesty. You want to be able to...
It's a really good... Yeah, it's a really good point, James. You've convinced me. Because tooth kind, why are they still selling normal Ribena then?
Thank you, Ed.
If they're calling it tooth kind, they're saying, oh, well, it doesn't fuck your mouth up like our other product.
Yeah.
And then tooth kind should be or the normal Ribena now.
Very nice to be on the same page.
Wasn't it because the tooth kind was aimed at parents for children because as children mature with their baby teeth, you know, But the normal Ribena is not so good. But as you get older, with grown-up teeth, but your teeth are better able to withstand the normal Ribena. Was it aimed, I swear it was aimed at children.
I think you've destroyed us with logic, Dynamo.
That sounds about right, doesn't it?
Although I've never understood that. Don't worry about your baby teeth. They're just going to fall out, right?
Yeah, I mean, that is
a valid point.
Yeah, fuck them up, eat sugar.
Kids
eat sugar by
just
the bowl.
Like, you know, punch each other in the mouths all the time. We come to the dessert. Now, I have a feeling this is where you're going to throw out all the rules that you have to live by in your day-to-day life, because so far we've very much stuck to your diet and what is realistic.
Mm.
And you said there was going to be a point where we throw everything out the window. And I feel like, Ed, if you'd like to open a window, please.
Okay.
Everything's about to get thrown out.
Oh, sorry, it's one of those hotel windows. I can only get it open a tiny bit.
Okay, we'll put things out there one by one. We'll just slide it through the gap. What would you like for your dessert, sir?
Well, if I'm totally forgetting all of my limitations that I have in this real world of food and stepping into your magical world where anything is possible.
Welcome.
I would have not massive portions of each, but a mixture of Mississippi mud pie.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Good stuff.
Molten lava cake, you know, it's warm, where it's got the chocolate inside and it's like, you know, gooey. With that thing that I can't have. Dun dun dun, custard.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'd throw in one of those, it's like a banoffee chocolate cheesecake thing that I think I once got from like a Tesco's. Oh. Have you seen them? They do like, you get
banoffee
two.
Chocolate.
Right.
Like, but they do them in packs of two.
Okay.
I think it's like, it's either Tesco's or like, it's one of these like, you know, own brand type desserts that they do. But it's like, The bottom of the cheesecake is perfect. I mean, it's made of chocolate biscuits as opposed to the usual.
Yes, please.
So the crumbly bit. And then it's got like this, the cheese on the top of the, because it's like, am I wrong, right? Yeah. Is there any cheesecake that genuinely has cheese in it?
Cream cheese, right?
But is it? Like, I don't know. That's my question. Because on this one, it's definitely not cheese, because it's like a chocolatey, like gooey thing, but it's a bit like pate texture.
Yeah, but I think it'd be cream cheese with loads of sugar in it and chocolate and stuff.
I think so. I think Ed might be right.
He probably is right. He seems to have quite a lot of logical answers for a lot of the things.
Well, that's
about.
You know, straight up, I think it's cream cheese. That's what I think it is. I know it's a misleading name. I think when I was a kid and someone offered me cheesecake, I was like, oh, I thought this would be like a Victoria sponge with a slice of cheddar in the middle. Which does sound nice.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, it's just like a big cheese sandwich, right?
Yeah. You said that, it sounds like
But yeah, like I'll tell you what I do like as well though, which is I like those iced fingers you get at Greg's.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah,
like, yeah, you know, yeah. That's a dessert I can't eat.
You can eat that one.
Have an ice finger, because essentially it's bread, isn't it? And,
yeah.
And like some icing on top.
Yeah. But this is if you're going for your dream.
But my dream one, I'm going out all out like chocolate, full of lactose, like the full on creamy custardy experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because I just can't normally, if I had that now, you know, like literally tour would be over.
Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to, I would basically move into either my toilet or a hospital.
You'd move into your toilet?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set up home there.
Sleep in the bath.
Also, normally, we only allow people one dessert, but...
Oh yeah, you're
right. That's why
stuck to the rules. So all the way through, you've been like, no, this is what I can realistically eat. You've earned this.
Yeah,
you've easily earned this dessert.
A whole platter for Dynamo.
You've earned to have the whole platter, I think.
And when I say platter, bro, it's, you know, like you go to, there's some place where they do smaller versions of each dessert on the menu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not being greedy. No. These are like bite-sized versions
such
of each.
Such a thing doesn't exist in this restaurant anyway. Yeah. There's no such thing as greed here. You can't be greedy.
There's no shaming. There's no, you eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
It fills you up. But I can see, I know what you mean. You've got a little sort of, like a long square plate with three little desserts on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds very nice. So one's from Tesco.
And the custard's like chocolate custard as well. It's not like the normal yellowy custard. I don't know what that flavour would be considered.
Vanilla, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah. It's like a chocolate custard.
Yeah.
You want chocolate custard, that's very easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
We can get that
for you.
So
you've got chocolate custard and you got the different puddings on a little board. Well, I'll read your order back to you, Dynamo, and see how you feel about it. Here we go. You would like some still water. Then you'd like some plain white Warburton's bread, slightly toasted. Then for starter, you would like the meat fruit from Heston Blumenthal's dinner. Your main, grandma's corned beef hash in a giant Yorkshire pudding. Oh, so good. I still have to take a moment.
Yeah.
How much I want that. Side dish, oven-baked thick chips in HP sauce and gravy. Drink, a blackcurrant Ribena. And for dessert, you would like a platter of Mississippi mud pie, molten lava cake, banoffee cheesecake from Tesco, and all covered in some chocolate custard.
Yes.
That sounds like
it's a really good meal.
I really like the kind of sticking to like what you can realistically have all the way through so that the dessert is one big blowout.
Yeah.
It's the only way to go out, isn't it?
You've absolutely earned it. You've absolutely earned it by the end. Well, thank you, Dynamo.
Thank you so much,
Dynamo. Thank you, guys. Thank you, yes.
We haven't once tried to get you to do a magic trick. I think we deserve a badge for that, some sort of award. but thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, Ed. Thanks for having me, Fennel.
What a great menu from Dynamo.
Delicious.
Genuinely interesting as well.
Yep. I learned a lot during that episode.
A lot about Crohn's and a lot about magic.
Yep. And also, obviously, my ideal menu is a big blowout right at the end. Just loads of dessert.
Yeah. What I enjoyed about it was that he was sensible about it and he actually told us what he can actually have.
Yep.
But it was still delicious.
Honest to God, I want to try that corned beef hash and a big Yorkshire pudding so much. Also, Dynamo, please tweet some photos about it. Put it on Instagram.
Yes, please.
I want to see what it looks like. And you can follow Dynamo on Twitter and Instagram, can't you?
At Dynamo Magician on Twitter and Instagram. And his website is dynamomagician.com. My favourite moment of the podcast, James, that we've just remembered, was when you were really thinking about the corned beef hash, and that's really illustrated if you listen back to it, when Dynamo was talking about his grandma in really sort of quite emotional and lovely terms, where he's saying, and she changed the menu for me, and she just showed me that whatever gets in your way, that's fine, and you've just got to roll with it, and that's really inspired me to live the life the way I do. And then you went, I was thinking I put a pastry lid on it.
What I was thinking about. I can't help it. I couldn't stop thinking about it.
James, you're on tour and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing stuff, you know. There's loads of stuff online you can catch up with as well. I've got a show called Repertoire on Netflix. I've got a series called Sweet Home Kettering on YouTube. An album called Luna Dot Raids the Bee Pigeon on Bandcamp. And a book, James Acaster's Classic Scrape.
So much stuff. If you just go on my website, edgamble.co.uk, you can probably see I'm up to some things. I'm on tour. Come and see me on that. That's mainly it. I keep it pretty pure. Not
Blizzard.
Bothering all this book stuff.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Dynamo also did a trick for us, and I think we have some footage of it, so I think we're going to put that online.
Amazing trick.
Blew our little minds, and it's related to eating as well.
Yes, it is related to eating.
A thematic
trick.
It was
almost his little aperitif.
Yes, please, Dynamo. Make sure you review and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Give it, sling it 5 stars, mate.
Please.
And come back next week and listen to another off-menu podcast.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy... there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.